Welcome to the Episcopal Church of the Redeemer's Sermon Podcast.
The readings appointed for this sermon are from the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 42, verse 1 through 9, the book of Hebrews, chapter 9, verse 11 through 15, the Gospel according to John, chapter 12, verse 1 through 11, and Psalm 36, verse 5 through 11.
God, grant us serenity to accept the things that we cannot change, courage to change the things that we can, and the wisdom to know the difference. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
So I think everyone here knows that I have three children. And I'm not going to name names, but two of my children are still at that point where anytime there's any kind of kissing on the screen, on the television screen, they're like, nope, I'm out. They just kind of, sometimes they'll just do this, you know. One will just be like, ew. And if it's a show they've seen a number of times, they know when it's coming up. One of them has it memorized, and he'll just politely find something else to do and be in another room for that scene and come back when it's over. We're not watching any of that kissing stuff. We're not going to get into any of that nonsense. This is a big part of their age, I think, is just like, that makes me uncomfortable and kind of squirmy, you know. And of course, if you don't have kids, maybe you know, you remember being a kid and feeling that way. Or maybe you saw your parents kiss. Ew. I think when my kids see my wife and I kiss, they're almost as bothered as when they see us argue. Like, they're like, oh gosh, what's, guys, please stop this, not this, right? There's something about that kind of intimacy that makes them uncomfortable. There's more to it than that, too. You know, I remember when I was 13, my dad came out of the closet to me, and, you know, I was more disturbed by the fact that I had to imagine him being attracted to anyone than I did that it was someone of the same sex. I was like, okay, gay, but you like people that way? Gross, you're my dad. You know, like there's this thing where we want to keep people from being fully human. And when we see things that are intimate, when we see things or have to think that thing, we kind of, there's a piece of us that kind of cringes, right? We have this story today. We have the story of Mary breaking open this costly perfume, pouring it on Jesus' feet, and then wiping the feet with her own hair. And this is a deep and profound gesture of intimacy. Now, I am not suggesting that Jesus and Mary had a relationship. This isn't the Da Vinci Code. It's the gospel, okay? It's not where I'm going with this. But romance and sex, that's not the point. Intimacy is intimacy. Connection, knowing one another, and care and vulnerability. And what Mary shows to this man who is not only her teacher, but her friend, and who we were reminded in this story is the one who literally raised her brother up from the dead. She drops to her knees and she pours perfume all over his feet. And she takes her hair and wipes it off. And you can imagine how uncomfortable everybody else was in the room. Judas, of course, is the one to say something because, of course, it's Judas, right? And John really makes sure to let us know what a dirtbag Judas is, as if we didn't already remember, right? We know Judas, hot mess, we get it, right? But in this moment, we totally, there's something about, Judas is like, oh, she shouldn't be doing that. You know, that money could have gone to the poor. Which is no different than the kid being like, change the channel, they're kissing. It's the same thing. It's a reaction to intimacy. He has to change the subject because the intimacy on display is more than he can handle. In fact, if we think about Judas and his relationship with Jesus, especially towards the end, there's so much of that betrayal is found in sort of a rejection of being closer to Jesus. Loving Jesus on his own terms and not on Jesus' terms. Seeing Jesus as the Messiah, Judas wants him to be, and not as the one that Jesus actually is. We all, every single one of us, we simultaneously yearn for intimacy and are disturbed by it. We yearn to be closer, and that closeness also scares us. And I would argue that there is no scarier place for us and no place where we yearn more for that intimacy than with our God, the one who made us. Friends, we are literally created by the love of God and for the love of God. And not just in some sort of abstract, out there, ethereal way. In the here and now, we are meant to know and be known, to love and be loved by the one who made us. And that intimacy, the possibility of that intimacy, is both so thrilling and terrifying. We know, everybody here, we know intimacy requires vulnerability, and vulnerability is scary because we know we can be hurt. And so we don't talk about intimacy with God. We talk about doing the right thing in God's eyes. We talk about being the right kind of people. We talk about making sure that we're good and holy and not sinning or asking for forgiveness for our sins. And we ignore the foundational reality that the whole thing, our whole story, the gospel, all of it is about intimacy with God, about closeness with the one who made us, and with a deeper knowledge of our purpose in this world, a deeper understanding of why we are here. What is Jesus but the embodiment of God's vulnerability and God's desire to be intimate with us? It's as if God were to say, you want to see who I am? You want to know me? You haven't been able to see me. You haven't been able to call me by name. You haven't been able to know me. I'm just an idea. I'm just an abstract thing. Here I am. And we are both amazed by this and terrified. And so this week, this holy week, as we follow Jesus to the cross, Jesus is inviting us each day into a deeper intimacy with him and therefore with God, a deeper understanding of Jesus' very being, what he's about, which is what God's about. And of course, that leads us to the cross, which is both a sign of how afraid of intimacy with God we are, but it's also a sign of God's utter and stubborn, insistent vulnerability. God in Christ knows what's coming this Friday. It is not a surprise to him. And he continues to move forward in relationship with us. There is nothing more vulnerable than Christ on the cross. You know, we're very, you know, tasteful people. So all of the depictions of Christ on the cross we have, he's very strategically covered and clothed in some way. But he wasn't in real life. He was stripped down naked and nailed up to a cross for everyone to see. And there was nothing to hide, and there was nothing to cover, and there was nothing to make it look reasonable and acceptable. It was, here is God, right in front of us, completely laid bare and completely open to us, even at our worst. And we're afraid of rejection. We stand here 2,000 years later, still afraid to be rejected by the God who would stand naked before us and die for us. We're scared. And we'll talk about this week. Well, I don't really like to talk about, you know, Holy Week and dwell on all of the awful things. And I don't like to think about Jesus as one who receives punishment and all that. Sometimes we sound just like Judas, making up reasons to ignore the intimacy right in front of us. We'll even use this story. I've seen this story be used where Jesus says, you will always have the poor with you, but you won't always have me. People will get into the nitty-gritty about, well, what is Jesus saying about our social policies, about how we care for the poor? He's not saying anything about that. And even our inability, our talking about that can signal our inability to just sit with the discomfort that is created by witnessing Christ in intimate relationship with another. We're scared. So we will make this week, and we will make this story, and we will make all these things about something other than what they are, which is that God loves us, that God is here for us, that there is nothing that God will not do to continue down that road of love with us. This is the truth of this week. So maybe my invitation for you this evening as you walk this road this week with us is to look for the places throughout the week where you are discomforted. Where the thing that happens with Jesus or to Jesus or the thing that Jesus says or does shocks you or makes you uncomfortable. Maybe it's worth it for us to sit and think about what those things have to do with God's intimacy with us, with God's invitation to a deeper relationship of love and connection. Perhaps we can use this week to observe what we let get in the way. What we let get in the way of that relationship. Because one thing this week teaches us is that there is nothing that God will let get in the way. At all costs and at all measures, God will do all that God can for us to know our belovedness. Can we accept it?